Boy, God is good. It's so good to be in the house of God. I mean, this is our sixth week back, and we are practicing social distancing. We've added the masks, just trying to take care of everybody, just out of respect and honor and love and concern and health and all those things. And so, praise the Lord. I tell you, every Sunday I'm back here in this house, I'm so thankful to be back in this house. I'm thankful for all our folks that are around the valley. Some just can't be here. I talk to them through the week, text, and do different things. They would love to be under the roof with us. They're just not ready for health concerns and other reasons, and all that's okay. But I want to give a clap offering to all the Rock Church all across the valley and all across the country. Let's welcome them this morning. We love you guys. We miss you. It was so good just to mingle around and talk to some of you. Even if you get a 15-second talk with a person you haven't talked with to in weeks or months, it feels kind of good, doesn't it? At least it does for me. I felt like the worship this morning was all for me. I don't know if you felt like it was all for you, but every song just seemed to touch my heart as we sing to the Lord. Well, it is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, fathers. And we've got a lot of fathers in the house, a lot of men in the house, and we just want to take a moment. We celebrated Mother's Day online. And we will celebrate with our dads both in the building and around the valley and the country this morning. If you're in the building, are you at home? I'm asking all dads to stand this morning. Stand up, dads and men. All men, come on. Let's give our men a hand this morning. Come on. While you're standing, I just really appreciate the men of the Rock Church and bless you and love you and truly believe in you. Thankful for our ladies, but today, ladies, the guys get the glory. Jesus and the men. But do I just love you and appreciate you, and I believe with all my heart, men, that God has called us to lead and to serve in a time such as this, in our homes, in our work, in our church. And I got you a special gift. And it's kind of funny, but it's not meant to be extremely funny, really. Is you have a gift when you leave this morning. It's a box of Cracker Jacks. I tell you what, the men of the Rock are Cracker Jacks. Now, yeah. Where I was raised, born and raised, which is a little different than west of the Mississippi, if you were a Cracker Jack, it meant you were top notch. You were a hard worker. You were a go-getter. You were intelligent. You were special. And I was, and we got to, I've had these about a week. And then I thought this morning, who could it mean something else? So I thought, you know, that's what it meant where I was raised. So I looked it up. And I tell you, I believe with all my heart, men, for you, for the men of the Rock, both here and at home and wherever you are this morning, to be a Cracker Jack, according to Webster, is to be exceptionally good. And I mean this. And I know, guys, Christ makes us good. Grace makes us good. I get all that. And that's true. Where would we be without Jesus? But from my heart to your heart, I believe the men of the Rock are exceptionally, exceptionally good men. I believe that. I say that with all my heart. You're the real Cracker Jack. Let's give our guys one more round of applause. You may be seated. Don't forget your gift on the way out. You know. And get you a box of Cracker Jacks. Also, this morning, before we move on, we have a new father in the house. And it's his first Sunday back. And they would have been out for a while anyway with little Carissa Eloise, and I think Allison's already got her in the family room back there. Noah, you left on me right when I was getting ready to honor you, and I go, wait, come back. He's checking on his little girl. But Noah, I'd like you to stand. He's a new daddy, and I want to honor Noah. Now, I want you to remain standing, because Noah is not only the newest father at the Rock Church, he's also been selected as the man of the year for the Rock Church Assembly of God. Stand up, give him a hand. Noah, he loves Jesus. He loves his wife and his child. He loves his friends. Those are the two greatest commandments. He's got that under his belt. And he loves the Rock Church. He loves us, y'all. He has served us well and continues to serve all of us well. There's so many things I admire about Noah Lauder. Then the list is too long to mention today. But he's willing to start something, equip somebody, and move on. And his fingerprints are all over our lives. He serves on our council, which is our board, biblical deacon, which I believe he's called to do, and he does too. He serves as the treasurer, which y'all can't even begin to believe how it helps us in the area of stewardship. And how he helps us steward our tithes well for the kingdom. A lot of his service at this time is a little hidden, but very valuable and very important. And Noah, I just want you to know from my heart and from our heart that you're our man of the year. And we love you and appreciate you. And thank you for your heart for us. Let's give Noah one more hand. You can be seated. You do have a gift. I'll bring it to you Tuesday night because it didn't make it to the house. It was supposed to be there this week and things like that are happening now. But I do have a gift of recognition for you, my friend. Praise the holy name of Jesus. Boy, it's good to be back, isn't it? Whew. Today I have a man's message. I'll be teaching biblical concepts, though, that applies to the church, applies to all of us. I'll speak to the men. But I want to start with an eagle. The idea of an eagle. An eagle is an amazing, amazing bird. And I believe God's called men to soar like an eagle. I believe God's calling the church in this hour to soar like an eagle. I believe it. I'll give you a little study on an eagle. They're unique animals. I mean, typically, even in normal situations, an eagle can fly itself. 7 foot wingspan. Can you imagine? That's bigger than I am. I don't have a 7 foot wingspan. It can fly an average speed of 30 miles an hour to 60 miles an hour. But like this eagle is soaring. An eagle has a unique ability when storms roll in or winds roll in, has a unique ability to spread its wings and let the wind of the storm push it up to higher levels. We're in storms personally, collectively, the church world and the business world and the government world and the world. And I believe with all my heart, this isn't some little tricky message, that God has called men to soar. I believe with all my heart we've got to get our wings out and let the trials of this world and the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit church push us up higher. I believe it with all my heart. Did you know that an eagle can soar up to 2 miles, sometimes up to 3 miles high above the storm? And even at that height, it can spot a rabbit 2 miles above animals and prey and get within 20 feet of that food in their case. Church, we've been called all along to live above the storm. Victory through the trial. Victory in the midst of. Can I get an amen? To live above and not beneath. To be the head and not the tail. To have the victory and not live in defeat. To live forgiven and not in bondage. To live set free and not controlled. That's what Jesus Christ has called the church to. And I hear the Holy Spirit calling us men, calling us church, to use this season that has come our way. And we can debate all day of why it's here and what is happening. There'd be a little bit of truth in all of it. But what's happening is happening, but Jesus Christ died at Calvary and rose the third day to give life in every situation. And the scripture says he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I. And because he's there and because he's here, we can soar like eagles. We can rise up like eagles. We can soar above every issue and live in victory. We read a scripture in Isaiah 40 and 26. I'm going to read you a few verses this morning. It says this: lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? Everybody say Jesus. We learned that a few weeks ago. He was there with the Father. He was creating. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls from each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God? Let me just comment and let me read on. So many people feel like God's not paying attention, or you may have asked yourself, God, what's going on in my world? Why has all this happened to me? Lord, I'm crying out, I'm praying, I'm believing, and all this stuff has come my way, even personally, even collectively, and all the above. Lord, have you passed me over? And Isaiah continues in verse 28. Have you not known? And he's addressing now, God speaking. Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. God's not dead. He is alive. He is alive. Jesus still lives. His understanding is unsearchable. Verse 29. He gives power to the weak. In those who have no might, he increases strength. I have no might on my own. Right? We're not as mighty as we think. Verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and young men stumble and fall. And I love it. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Can you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Because the Lord is speaking to us prophetically this morning through the prophet Isaiah. What was happening there? Well, Isaiah prophesied during the reign of four different kings. Some of you may know that. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And you begin the book of Isaiah, and you can kind of take a journey with Isaiah through the four different kings. And Isaiah is a very interesting book in that a big part of it, he spent time talking about and prophesying about the judgment to come to Israel. Also, at the same token, there's more prophetic messianic scripture in the book of Isaiah than any other book. He prophesied about the coming of Jesus. So he's writing and prophesying this large book about destruction that is coming to Israel. At the same time, he's offering hope. And especially in chapters 40 and 41, he's offering hope. It was Hezekiah's reign. Hezekiah made some alliances with some kings he shouldn't have made some alliances with. He was going to die. He asked God for 15 more years. God gave it to him. But Hezekiah didn't really straighten his act up in that 15 years. To a degree he did, to a degree he didn't. And the nation of Israel was judged because of it. And when bad things happen to a nation, guess what? For whatever the reason, we all have to go through it, don't we? It affects all of us, doesn't it? To some degree. The things that are going on in our country are having an effect, and a direct effect on our lives, church, men. But in the midst of it all, the Lord is saying to us this morning through Scripture, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So in the midst of bad news, there's always good news. Everybody say good news. Do you want to rise above the storm? I do. I don't like living it down in the muck and mire. Well, I did something I don't usually do, but I come up with an acronym, SOAR. Let's walk through it real quick this morning. We need to learn, men, we need to learn SOAR so that we can soar. Number one, we need to seek God with all our heart. He's got to be our focus. It's so easy to lose focus. It's so easy to get busy. It's so easy to get burdened. It's so easy to scramble sometimes in times like these. Men, we've got to seek God with our whole heart. James 4 and 7 says this, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The message, and I use it every now and then, says yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. First and foremost, in all things, at all times, if we're going to soar, Jesus has to be our focus. Seeking God. Look, if you've asked Christ into your heart, he's in your heart, you're saved. But we can spend time with the Savior and the King of Kings every day. Y'all say, Pastor, you talk about that about every other time we're talking. You better believe I do. What about our appointment with God? Make an appointment with God every day and keep it. It's your time to seek God. We're here this morning. We're seeking God collectively. We're worshiping. We're praying. We're fellowshipping. We're listening to the Word. We're going to respond to the Word. But we need to seek God if we're going to have the power to soar. I can tell you this, and it's not a legalistic thing. I don't want you to be a God seeker because you feel like you have to. It is a spiritual discipline, but I want you to meet with Jesus. I want you to want to meet with Jesus. I want you to love Jesus so much when you get up in the morning or go to bed at night or whenever your time is, you say, God, I want to know you. God, I want to know you more. I want to be intimate with you. I want to hear your voice. I want you to hear my voice. Church, we must be God seekers. And let me say this. I'm not talking about your salvation. You're saved by grace through faith. You're justified by grace through faith. But you will not be any more powerful than the moments and the time you spend with God. I'm telling you the truth. You go 3 days without your devotion, or 1 week without your time with God, makes 1 week. Seek God. Men, ladies, I call it the 15-minute miracle. I taught this. Don't try to bite off 2 hours a day or 3 hours a day. Some of you spend an hour or two of God a day. I get that. Bite off 15 minutes to pray, 15 minutes to read your word. Did you know, and let me calculate it again. I didn't write it down. 152. That's over 100 hours a year with Jesus. If you're going to soar, you have to be a God seeker. You're going to live above. And then when you submit to God, you can resist the devil. Soar. O means to offer up your body as a living sacrifice. We've got to offer up our body as a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1 says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Everybody say mercy. If you're going to offer yourself a sacrifice, you got to see the mercy first. That's a whole nother message for a whole nother day. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. So you've got to be God seekers, but you've got to surrender. Are you all? I talked about it last week. You know, a lot of people just want to water down gospel. We've got to be all in or not. Are you all in or not? One foot in, one foot out. It doesn't work at work for you. It doesn't work in your marriage. It doesn't work in your friendships. It's not going to work in your relationship with Christ. If we're going to soar, aren't you tired of living defeated? You got to offer up your body. There's a whole nother message there. Everything you are, heart, mind, body, soul, spirit, has to be surrendered to Jesus Christ. You've asked Him in. He's your Savior. He's also your Lord. Who's the king of your heart this morning? Look, His ways aren't our ways, the Scripture says. I found that to be very true. Dale comes up with a good idea, and God said, yeah, but that's not my idea. Dale wants to live one way, and then I find in His Word, because everything's in His Word. All the guidelines for living victoriously and soaring are in God's Word. And when I can live by God's Word, by God's grace and the power of His Spirit, I will soar, but I have to be given to it. People say, well, don't you believe part of the Bible and rest of it you don't? No, I'm all in. We got to get all in, men. All in. All in with our family. All in with our marriage. All in with our church. All in, but most important, all in for the Lord, totally surrendered. And then when I've submitted my life to Him, the devil flees and trials come that we don't expect, didn't even deserve them on our own. And because of the power of the Holy Spirit and our relationship in Christ, we can live above it all. Yeah. We don't have to be bitter like everybody is being bitter. We don't have to fall into the trap of being racist, because Jesus isn't racist and we shouldn't be racist either. We don't have to live in fear like people live in fear. In this season, we need to be careful. We need to be wise, but we don't need to be afraid. Without Jesus this morning, I'd be afraid of death. I mean, after all, it's not just the COVID. Y'all look like a bunch of outlaws. Call the safety team. He's... Bunch of people come to church wearing masks. Sell out on every issue of your life. I'm going somewhere with all this. God is dealing with us about the areas where that we haven't surrendered. It's a lifelong process. Number three, let me take a step back. I want to read you 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. When you ask Christ into your heart, that's what happens. All that old junk, those old habits, those old sins, that old garbage. I broke down crying in worship today because I just began to reflect who I was before I found Christ. Look, actually, I was a pretty good guy. I was fairly smart. I know that's hard to believe. I was a good guy. I love people. Love's never been an issue for me. I did well in college. I did well in business. I had some really bad habits. And I was lost. And Jesus found me one day. And I found Jesus. And this young whippersnapper, proud but good man, lost man, businessman, life was transformed forever. And the garbage that held me, and the garbage that I thought was fun, or the garbage I thought that made me happy, or the garbage I thought that was cool, all that old stuff Jesus took away. Come on, somebody. All that old stuff, and makes us brand new. It's not just a remodel this morning. When you submit your life and surrender your life to Jesus Christ, He will make you brand new. I'm talking to the church, but I'm also talking to you if you don't know Christ this morning. You say, I don't know why. You don't know where I've been. You don't know where I've lived. You don't know how bad I am. I don't, but Jesus does. And if you'll confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And somebody said, well, do I need to convert? You need to ask Christ into your heart and confess your sins. And when you invite Him into your heart, He converts you. It's not something you do that's outward. It's something He does that's inward, that manifests outward. Hallelujah. And when you ask Christ into your heart, all things become old and there's a new you. Wow. New you. Brand new. Woo! You thought you'd come here this morning and get remodeled? He's into making brand new. Hallelujah, and we're moving on, and I'm doing good on time so far. That means nothing for the whole gig here. So number three, accept the plan of God, the will of God. Accept the will and plan of God for your life. Men, God has a plan for your life, and it's wonderful, and it's good. Jeremiah 29:11, one of our favorites, and we all read it and we all know it, says, for I know the plans I have for you. Shout over to your neighbor and say, God has a plan for you. Isn't that something? Sounded like y'all were all praying in tongues or something. Keep the masks on. Glad I'm not preaching this morning. He has a plan for your life. He says, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope in a future. That's good news. Now look, I'm just hitting this quick. We have all kinds of things we do for a living and careers and this and that, and that's okay. We're all have a different calling on our lives. And certainly hasn't everybody been called to be a pastor or in full-time ministry. Everybody's been called to be part of the body of Christ. And all people are vital in that. I'm trying to tell you guys, if you're going to soar, you've got to find out what the plan of God is for your life and accept it, irregardless of what you do for a living. Before I got into ministry and I was serving in the church, I felt like my job, and even after I got into ministry, because I was bivocational for years, I felt like what I did for a living supported the ministry God had me in. God has a plan for your life. There's a hope. You have a future. There's something grander and more wonderful and more productive and more meaningful. Oh, you make a living this way and that way, and I hope you're passionate about what you do. But boy, if you ever find out what God has for you, it'll drive you. And when you know God has a plan for your life and you're walking in it a step at a time and a day at a time, and sometimes even finding it a day at a time, a week at a time, a year at a time, I'm telling you what'll happen. You'll begin to soar. You'll begin to have a greater reason and a higher calling to live. Hallelujah. So when the trial comes, you have a reason. You have a purpose. You're seeking God. You're shut in with God. You're keeping an appointment with God. Hey, how are you going to find the will of God for your life if you're not spending time with Him every day? Come on, I bounced back on you there. The heart cry of David in Psalm 25:1, and I'll read it. David said, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are God of my salvation. On you I wait all day." Let me tell you, we're doing a Jesus Is series. Jesus is for us. Hallelujah. And not against us. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Please, men. Please, church. Life is busy. We got to work. I got that. If we don't work with our hands, we're worse than an infidel, the scripture said. I'm not challenging what you're doing. And hopefully God is blessing you abundantly, even financially. I hope for that. But God has a plan and a purpose for your life that is higher and greater and bigger than you are. For all of you. Which makes the church so wonderful, because it's in the context of the church, the body, we find that purpose. Praise His holy name. And lastly, S-O-A-R, rest in His presence, which is somewhat similar to seeking Him, but it's a little different. And I'll read 40:31 again. It says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You may be reading your Bible on your phone. You may have a hard copy. Y'all need to underline that verse. To rest in the presence of the Lord. How is that different than seeking God? Well, I can rest in the presence of the Lord all day. I can't be with my appointment with God sitting by the fireplace praying. I can pray continually through the day. How do you rest in the present? I mean, we could teach 3 40-minute messages on that concept, but I'll give you what I believe I need to give you today. I believe to wait upon the Lord is to trust Him in every situation. And again, it's more complicated than that, or richer. Let's use the word richer than that. You have to trust Him. Especially in times like we're going through. Trust is a little different than faith. And faith is important because the scripture says without faith it's impossible to please God. And faith and trust go together. But, you know, there's something inside us that when you're resting in God, you know everything. You know you're going to be okay. You know in your knower that whatever comes your way, whatever comes to your family's way, whatever comes to your church's way, whatever comes to your career, whatever comes, whatever goes, whatever happens, that you have a relationship with Christ so that whatever, the things you don't understand, the curveballs life throw you, the knuckleballs life throw you, the unexpected things that come your way, you can rest in God when you trust Him. You don't always understand Him. You do usually later. Sometimes you do in the midst of. Sometimes you do later. You look back and you go, oh, I see what was going on there, Lord, in me and us and what was happening. But I tell you what, no matter what goes on, when you really trust the Lord, there's the peace of God that begins to manifest in your heart and in your mind. The scripture says it guards your mind. The peace of God that transcends all understanding. So when things happen, we just trust Him. You say, but I don't understand what's going on there, Lord. You may not always understand what's going on, but you can always trust the heart of God. And the heart of God, the scripture says, is for you and not against you. The heart of God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The heart of God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I could go on and on and on and on and on. The heart of God, several hundred times in the Bible, says something to this effect. Do not fear. I am with you. I'm telling you, you may not understand your trial or your situation. We can't even begin to understand what's going on in our country and our community. We have insights. We're informed to some degree in this and that. But I know one thing this morning. You can always trust Jesus. You can always trust who He is. You can always trust that He will do what He said He will do. You can always trust Jesus. He will never leave you, never forsake you, never let you down, always lift you up. You can always trust Jesus. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who trust in Jesus will always soar above it and not be beneath it. Give the Lord a hand. Say, I want to soar. Say it, I want to soar. If you're at home and you're here, say, I'm going to soar. I'm going to soar. God hasn't called us to be chickens. So don't be chicken. Soar like the eagle God's called you to be. We sing the song, and it's what broke me down this morning, that we could rest in the arms of a loving Father, to lean back and know that He's good. And know that He's good. It's in times like these, you know, you just lean back and say, Lord, I'm in Your arms. My destiny is whatever You say my destiny is. But I'm just going to lean back in the arms of a beautiful Father. Hallelujah, glory to God. I see Noah back there holding little Carissa, Eloise, and I'm yelling and spitting and shouting. And she's just back there in Daddy-O's arms. And she's just like this. Look, go ahead and look. Now, I could wake her up any minute and the peace would fly like a dove. Allison's going, yeah, Pastor, move on, please. She's awake. Hey, little girl. You little old sweet thing, you. We love you. We've been praying for you. No, that's the picture. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, I wish I had time. Do you know what the word renew means? Oh, it makes me want to shout. Should I hold off? renew is a covenant term. I've taught it before over the years, several times actually in the last 25 years. It's in the original language, it means to exchange. Those who wait upon the Lord, those who trust the Lord, those who rest in the Lord shall exchange their strength. I'm going to let you ponder that for a minute. I had to put a star on something. Those who trust in the Lord, wait upon the Lord, lean back in the loving arms of a beautiful Father. Know that He's good. He has a love like no other. Shall renew their strength. There's going to be an exchange. There's going to be a renewal. I believe with all my heart for the church that's willing to rise up, renewal has begun. Y'all don't hear me shout revival every other week, but we need a revival. We need a revival in our land, a real Holy Spirit revival, a supernatural move of God that will change hearts and men's lives, women's lives. I believe, and you've been hearing me mention this off and on about doors of opportunity, and a lot of what I've been saying to you is there's doors that are opening for us to love people and minister, and we see those doors opening on the nightly news if you watch it or not. God is going to and is giving us an opportunity that maybe we haven't had in a long time. Every one of you this morning have an opportunity to share the truth with those you love the most. Will you? I believe we're on the front end of renewal or revival. See, it says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, the promises to soar, men, the promises to soar, church, is that when we do this, God will give us a supernatural strength that revives us even in the midst of weakness and suffering. Starting to ring a bell? Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength means this, that He's going to give His people, the church that's willing to be, willing to sell all the things I taught you, that's willing to be all out, all in for Jesus, that He's going to lift them above every difficulty and every difficult trial. Those that wait upon the Lord, and it may be a chaotic time. Let me tell you what, the first 6 weeks of not being at church was one of the most chaotic times of my life, if not the most chaotic time. I had a guy come up to me about 3 months in and said, "Oh, Pastor, how did you enjoy your time off?" I went, "You got to be kidding me." It was triple everything. Triple pastoral care, triple administration, triple business, triple double services, more nights out. I'm zoomed out. Zoom is a blessing and a curse, but Zoom tripled my meetings. You know, if you can't get together, you might want to skip that meeting. I'm being a little funny. But for those that wait upon the Lord, He says He'll put His Spirit on to run spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically without tiring. And don't miss what I'm getting ready to say, because the church in this time of waiting, if we will wait upon the Lord, trust God, be obedient as He guides us in all these principles. See, the church has never, yet do we stop and rest for a season? Yeah, but the church always advances. The church always moves forward. The history of the church since it was birthed on the day of Pentecost moved forward, moved on in their faith, impacted people, impacted nations, impacted neighborhoods. God has not called us to hide and sit down and die. He's promised for those that wait upon the Lord, He will renew our strength and we can soar like eagles. And as we wait, the church will move forward. The gospel will go forward. The word will go out. The love will be shown. The light will be shining. And many will have the potential to come into the kingdom of God in heaven for eternity. So God hasn't called us to retreat or sit back or hide. He's called the church to move forward. And for those that wait upon the Lord, He will empower us to do that. You give the Lord a hand. We have to patiently trust Him. Take that home and think about it. When eagles are about 30 years old, and an eagle can live, believe it or not, up to 60 years of age. That's a long time for a bird to live, isn't it? That's a long time for a man to live. Oh, oh, that's my eagle call. I'm 62. Being funny. They go through a process somewhere around that time. They go find a secret place, usually in the mountains or deep in the forest. And what they do in this secret place is a time of renewal for them. What they do, they begin to claw their face. They begin to claw their claw, their beak out. They begin to claw their talons out. Because over a period of 30, 35 years, whatever it's been, the beak is chipped, the talons are dull. And they go to this secret place. And bloody, it's bloody. They found eagles and captured eagles doing this, and they bleed badly. But the reason they do this is in order to renew their strength. In order for that eagle to live a 60-year lifespan, somewhere about halfway along the way, there has to be a time of renewal or soul searching. I believe that's where we are. God's going to raise up people and send revival, but it starts with renewal, like what we're in, where the Holy Spirit is working with us daily in a collective setting like this, where we do a little soul searching, even to the point of pain. I had several people over the last few, well, and good people that love Jesus. I'm not questioning your salvation this morning unless you're not saved. You know, when trials come along, it'll bring out the best in you or the worst in you, and usually it'll bring out the worst first, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to see how ugly you are, so that you'll deal with it. So you'll pluck that thing out of your life. There's some of you been holding on to stuff for so long, and now we've got another season. Hey, I tell you, in this season, you better know who you depend on. We may have found out, well, I depend on my job, I depend on this, I depend on that. God has given us an opportunity, church. He's opening a window of opportunity for renewal in our hearts and our minds like I haven't seen in a long, long time. But every one of us as individuals and every one of us as a church are going to have to surrender and open our eyes and open our minds and open our hearts before Almighty God and say, God, you take that if you want it, I'll give you that. You change me. This is a bad habit. This is a negative attitude. I've been this way all my life, and it's not good. And in this time of waiting, those who wait upon the Lord, come on now, you've got to give it. You haven't been tithing. That could be so. Or you're living in this sin or that sin. Or you haven't been obedient in this part of the scripture. I mean, the Holy Spirit is convicting the church, not just to convict us and to make us feel bad, because that's not what conviction is. It's so that we will realize and be honest with God that we need help, so that we will realize that we're not as strong as we thought we were after all, because we've allowed these things to stay in our life. Guess what? The grace of God is sufficient. The grace of God is made perfect in our weakness. And all we have to do, Christians, is be honest before God and say, pluck my beak off if that's what it takes. Take these talents off. Take these ideas out of my mind. Take these habits from my life, Lord. Because I'm going to tell you what, you can pray all day, take them, Lord, take them, Lord, take them, Lord. That's not what the Spirit's saying in this hour. He's still going to give you a choice. You have to give it to Him. Give it to Him. Even if it causes you pain and suffering and anguish, what's better than giving everything to Jesus? What's better than giving rid of those things that has hindered your life? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. If it costs you everything, get rid of the things that hinder your relationship with God. For those that wait upon the Lord, trust God, will renew their strength. I'm not done yet, but I'm almost done. There will be an exchange for a people of God that will open their minds, for a people of God that will open their hearts. There's going to be an exchange take place. Oh, dear God, I'm not so good. He said, guess what? I am. Here's my goodness. Dear Lord, didn't realize that was so bad. He said, you're not bad anymore. I'll make you good. He said, oh, God, that's a sin. He'll say, give me your sin, and I'll make you righteous. God, I've been weak. Give Him your weakness. He'll make you powerful. God, I've been negative. Give me your negativity. I'll make you positive. There's always an exchange with human and almighty God when we trust Him with all our heart. He promised it. He promised it. Hallelujah. In order to soar, we must respond. And God will do the rest. Amen? Amen. Won't you stand with me? Tim. As the music plays, and where are the elements? Oh, you already got them? Could I have one? Oh, there's been an exchange. Thank you, David. Good job. Okay. Church calisthenics, you may be seated again. I thought y'all didn't have them. You're going to have to come get them. That's on me. Pastor Jill. Come on up. Yeah, come on up. God has called the church to soar. Corinthians chapter 11, and I want to stand beside Pastor Jill. It talks about remembrance. The bread that represents His body, right? The juice that represents His shed blood. It's something we're to celebrate and do on a regular basis. And then it goes on to talk about looking within, to search your own heart. So it's a very joyous time as we come to Jesus and the grace that all this represents. And it's a time where we allow the Holy Spirit to look within. And these are just symbols, but they're power as we know who they're symbolic of. And the good news is when we look within and we go, oh, and I've just preached it, I won't read, we can come to the table. We don't have to run away. We can run to the body and the blood, the grace of Jesus Christ. And when we do, Pastor, even though this is symbolic, it's very, very spiritual. There's an exchange that can take place. That's what I'm believing for this morning. That wherever God has touched our heart this morning, because He's speaking to us, that we will believe when we run to the table that there will be an exchange take place between us and Jesus. And that maybe even some of the things that we carried in here, we won't carry out. Right? Pastor Jill, pray over the elements, please.
Precious Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your body that was broken for us. And we thank you for the blood on the cross that you shed so that we could have forgiveness of sin. And Lord, we thank you so much for that. And we rejoice. We rejoice because we can be made new in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's take the bread. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's take the juice. Lord, I thank you for the exchange. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the power to be somebody that you've called us to be. And Lord, I know today that you've called the Rock Church, men, women, children, to soar. So Lord, we soar with you. In you and through you, we have our very being, as the scripture says. We thank you for this opportunity. And I know we're a little on time, but I can't. Is there anybody here that says, I need to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of my life? If that's you, I want you to stand where you are and we'll pray for you. Said, I want to make Jesus. Okay. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Then we're going to take time and pray. Young man, I want you to follow me in this prayer, okay? You know, it really took a man to stand up. Thanks for being a man. I think you heard this message. You said, man, I want everything that he's talking about, right? That's who you'll be when you have him in your heart. Is there anybody else that wants to give their heart to Christ? Let's help him. Follow me. Dear Lord Jesus, I stand here today. Right now I'm lost, but I'm standing. And I'm standing for a reason and a purpose. I want to be your son. And I want everything that I heard about today. First of all, Lord, I've sinned and fall short. And I'm asking you to forgive me now. Wash me, cleanse me, and forgive me. And Jesus, I'm inviting you into my life, into my heart, into my mind, into my life. And I'm asking you right now to be Lord and Savior of my life. Amen. Congratulations, young man. Let's give this young man a hand. We have a gift for you. We're proud of you. We have a gift there for you. God bless you. We've got children to follow. And Pastor Jill is going to transition us. And I'm going to put my outlaw mask back on. No, it's not an outlaw mask. You like the red and the black? Huh? Color coordinated and everything? Hey, don't forget your Cracker Jacks, Cracker Jacks.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to share in the comments how God is speaking to you through His Word. If you would like to join our online church community, be sure to subscribe and click the bell icon on our YouTube page so you're notified when we post a new weekly sermon. You can also learn more about The Rock Church by visiting our website, rockag.com. If you are in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area, make sure to come visit us for Sunday morning service at 10 a.m. We would love to meet you in person. And if you would like to support this ministry today, you can donate by visiting our website and clicking the Giving tab at the top of the page, or by texting the amount you would like to give to the number 84321, then follow the instructions in the text reply. Thanks again for joining us. We look forward to hearing from you.